for safety reasons. And there was so many places that was dangerous to attempt to cross, and we still had three or four cars that stalled out.
American combat forces in Iraq are saying goodbye. We get the latest from correspondent Sagar Magani.
The rumbling of heavily armored Stryker vehicles as they headed across the Iraqi desert early this morning and across the Kuwait border.
Just a whole bunch of stress just off my shoulders.
Members of the 4-2 Stryker Brigade say 7 years and 5 months of combat in Iraq have ended.
Immense relief. It's over. It's all over for us.
The pullout will still leave 50,000 American troops in Iraq through the end of next year in a non-combat role focused on training Iraqi forces. Sagar Magani at the Pentagon.
The government now says the final plugging of BP's blown-out Gulf oil well will begin sometime after Labor Day. Jeffrey Carter, an aide to the government's spill chief, tells the Associated Press that the plan is to replace a failed piece of equipment called the blowout preventer first. A national defense analyst and Pentagon advisor says the recently released defense analysis on Chinese military power demonstrates that the communist regime is moving forward with its goal of being able to project power anywhere in the world. AFN's Chad Groening has details.
The Pentagon says China's military power is on the rise as it pursues more land-based missiles and attacks submarines, and that the secrecy of its drive increases the risk of miscalculation. The annual military assessment comes at a time of strained U.S. relations with Beijing. This year, the two countries have been at odds on whether North Korea attacked a South Korean warship and how to settle China's long-time dispute with Taiwan. The Pentagon report says Beijing is actively pursuing ways to prevent the U.S. from intervening in a potential conflict with Taiwan. It also says the country's secrecy about its military program, quote, increases the potential for misunderstanding and miscalculation. Retired Army Lieutenant Colonel Bob McGinnis says this report is really nothing new.
I've written about the new Cold War with China. I've written about the Blue Water Navy of the Chinese military and how aggressive it's becoming against us, not only with its submarines, but the fact that they acknowledge openly, and satellite imagery shows that they are building aircraft carriers. And you don't do that sort of thing for defensive reasons. You do it for projection of force.
McGinnis says the report is reconfirmation that the United States faces a growing and incredible threat from now the second largest economy in the world, and soon to be a near peer with the U.S. in a lot of military capabilities. I'm Chad Groening.
One of the first benefits of health care reform takes effect in the new year. Correspondent Bryant Thomas reports those enrolled in the Medicare prescription drug plan will pay more, but get more in 2011.
Seniors with high drug expenses can expect more help from the government. The health care reform law has cut the cost of brand-name drugs by 50%, 7% off generics, for those who fall into that no-coverage area known as the donut hole.
And finally, Freddie Mac says mortgage rates fell to the lowest level in decades for the 8th time in 9 weeks, a sign that investors are still concerned about the weak economy. American Family News is online at onenewsnow.com.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Just what makes that little old ant think he'll move that rubber tree plant? Anyone knows an ant can't move a rubber tree plant.
But he's got high hopes. He's got high hopes. He's got high apple pie in the sky hopes.
So anytime you're getting low, letting go, just remember that ant. Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant. Silly old ram thought he'd punch a hole in a dam. No one could make that ram scram. He kept butting that dam, 'cause he had high hopes. He had high hopes.
Come fly with me. Let's fly. Let's fly.
Good morning, or good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Gathering Offering. My name is Jerry Kirk. Today, in the Lord's time, this is the 111th Jubilee, the third week, the fifth year, the sixth month, and the 17th day. In pagan time, this is called August 19th, 2010. This is also Appendix 7 of 8 appendixes of the Gathering Offering. I offer blessings to those with eyes and ears that are indeed opening their eyes and their ears. To those that have eyes and ears that are not opening their eyes and ears, I truly feel sorry for them. As always, I have a responsibility at the beginning of this offering. Our Father who art in heaven, I praise and I bless you as I praise and bless your only begotten Son, the Christ. Today, Father, I want to thank you so absolutely very much that I am not in control. I want to praise you and bless you that I am not the judge. I want to praise and bless you that I am not the jury. And I want to praise and bless you that I am not the executioner. And I want to praise you that your only begotten Son, the Christ, the Lamb of God, is the only one that is found to have no guile in their heart. Because, Father, my mind, my heart, my soul on a regular basis says, bring it on, bring it on. They deserve what they get. And I do not have the mercy inside me that you and your only begotten Son, the Christ, have. Father, I am so sick and tired of the abominations, the injustices, the absolute madness of this planet and what is going on. I cannot stand it. I know that you are infinitesimally large. I mean, no way to describe how large your mercy and your grace is. And I praise you and bless you for it. And the bad guys ought to be real damn glad I'm not in charge, because I'd get it over real quick. But as I understand, Father, this is not my plan, and never did you need to consult with me as to what was going to happen. And I am so glad of that. I thank you, Father, for me understanding that you are in control and not me in control. And maybe others will start to understand that they are not in control of their lives, that you are in control. And once they start understanding this control issue and they give it all up to you, they then may have a chance to understand a little bit more about life. Thank you, Father. I praise you and bless you as I praise and bless your only begotten Son, the Christ. I am supposed to remember to mention that the 26-week offering gathering with the verbals and the written materials is available at freedom-school.com. And with only this Thursday and next Thursday to go, I would like to reemphasize to everybody, Jerry Kirk sells nothing, he charges nothing, and he accepts no monetary donations. However, that being said, James down there in Austin, Texas, would not mind a $5 donation. He doesn't charge anything. You can go there one time, 1,000 times to a site. He charges nothing. But his electric and his server bill is about $400 a month, $450. He never receives that much in donations, but doggone it, when he gets a $5 in the mail, it sure makes him feel a lot better. The fellow works pretty hard. I don't get a penny of that, and he knows he'd never send me a penny of it. I thank you so very much for your consideration of a man that does have cash expenses out of his pocket. Please think about James. Today, I'm going to visit with y'all on a couple of subjects, both of which were suggested to me by two different men in Missouri. First one that I want to visit with is on something called tithes. The second subject I want to visit with you is something of a so-called movement that's going on around this country and, you know, has been going on for a number of months. And it's a complete and total con job. So we'll get to that in the second half of the program. On tithes. Tithes can be defined in a number of definitions. It can be the tenth that is given to the Lord. It can be any amount given to the Lord, and I'm talking about definitions in the dictionary. It can be defined as a tax. A tithe can be denoted as the individual that was elected to an enforcement position to keep order in the church. But in specific, what we're going to try to talk about today is tithes with respect to what the individual may or may not want to give and who they might want to give or not give that tithe to. In my life, I remember growing up and the word tithe was not used. But I do remember at a very early age that my dad had certain rules, and my dad did not read the Bible. I mean, I don't ever recall my dad ever reading the Bible until I was about 42 years of age. At least if he did it, he didn't do it in front of me. Now, my grandpas read the Bible, but they did not make any kind of production of reading it in front of me. They, quite frankly, would normally be reading the Bible, and I would come around, and as soon as they finished what they were doing, they would quietly close their book and put it to the side and then visit with me. But I knew when I watched them, and I didn't let them see that I was watching them, that they were very intent, and they seemed to be, you know, to be working with something in their eyes and their facial expression. But my dad, with respect to giving money at an early age, he said, it is not right to publish the fact that you're giving money to help somebody. And that, you know, then I start reading in the Bible and stuff, you know, you're not really supposed to go around, hey man, I gave him $1,000, look at me, I'm a big deal. But in specific, I remember an occasion where my dad had a fee come in. And it wasn't supposed to come in until the following year, but it came in too early. And my dad had already made the amount of money that he allowed himself to make that year. So he went down to the church, and he made arrangements to give $5,000 to the church. And he made it absolutely clear that this had to be anonymous. And I know that he made it absolutely clear. 2 weeks after he gave the money, the church put it in the weekly newsletter. My dad went ballistic. He was so pissed off, he couldn't see straight. He went down there, and he did not use expletives on the priest, but he made it real damn clear his position. And we left that church as soon as he got through telling that priest off, and we never went back. And he was fuming about that for not just days or weeks, but for years, that someone would do that to him, publish his name, that he gave money. So I hadn't really read the Bible as such as an adult, because I was only like 6 or 7 years old when that happened, but I sure remember it. And I have no desire myself to give money and be recognized. So the first thing that I would offer is, I find nowhere in the Word of God that you're supposed to stand up and say, hey, let's put it in the paper. I gave $1,000, $100,000, or $1 million to charity. Look at me. I'm a big deal. I don't find that. In the Word of God in Leviticus chapter 27, I want to read some verses here, starting in verse 30. And all the tithes of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's, and is holy unto the Lord. Okay, now that sounds pretty good. I can understand it. And we're making the assumption here at this particular time that it's a tenth, because in other places it says a tenth before we get here. Verse 31, and if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithe, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof. Now, wait a minute. He's redeeming. So, let's see. He gave a tithe, and now he wants to get some of it back, but now he's going to add a fifth part back thereof. Well, I don't really understand that, to be honest with you. Did he make a mistake, and he gave some, and now he's got to get that back because he promised to somebody else? Did he make some kind of mistake? I really don't understand that. Maybe somebody else can do better than me. And now he's got to, unto the fifth part, he's got to add more because he took some back. I wonder if there's a little problem in the translation of these words. It's like he gave and he take. Verse 32. And concerning the tithe of the herd of the flock, even whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. Okay, now I understand that, but what does passeth under the rod? Now, is that the rod of the Lord? Is that Moses' rod? Or is that your individual rod that each man is supposed to have? Well, I come to the conclusion the rod is actually could be a physical manifestation of a rod, but it means your control. And control is a bad word. What it really means, that's under your protection, which is under your decision-making power, as what you're in charge of. You're in control of it as long as the Lord allows you to have it. But you're really just protecting it, and you're letting it grow and multiply. Now here's where it gets real confusing to me. And he shall not search whether it be good or bad. Okay, so I'm not rather supposed to search whether it's good or bad. Now, I'm wondering, if it's holy unto the Lord, if it's bad, why would I give it to the Lord if it's bad? Let's see. I line up six cows, or a bunch of cows in a line, and they go through, and I go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and that tenth one's given to the Lord. Well, if it happens to be a bad one, some reason that cow broke his leg. Some reason that cow's got something wrong with him. I got a little problem with that. Because when I get to the Lord, we'll get to that in a minute, I got a little problem with that. So let's read on. Neither shall he change it. Neither shall he change it. Okay, so whether it's good or bad, I give to the Lord. So far I'm understanding that, but I'm not real sure of this. And if he change it at all, now wait a minute, I just got told neither shall he change it. And now there's a connotation. And if he shall change it at all, then both it and the change thereof shall be holy. Well, now I'm starting to understand this. What it means is, you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and it's a real good one, like the best one, you don't change that guy. He's the very best one. He's the best cow of the group. Ah! You go 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, and this is the best one out of that 10. You don't change that. However, if You go 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And it's a crummy one. You change him out. And you put a good one in there. Yeah, whoops, let's move 9 to 10. 10 to 9. We certainly don't want to give a crummy one to the Lord. Takes a little moment to sit there and think about it. Okay? Then both it, the change of it, shall be holy. It shall not be redeemed. Okay, so now you took this one that's kind of crinkled up and got a bad leg and he's limping and all this kind of stuff. You take number 9, put it there in number 10. Okay, number 10 goes over there to the priest, and number 9, he's probably going to get a little better and look better in the next 6 months. That's the way I take a look at it. But tithing is not a simple subject. Even just reading a few verses brings up discussion, which is good, which is something that people should look into. And you say, look at all the time this guy spent on the radio talking about just a couple verses trying to explain this. Well, that's what you need to do with all the verses that say tithe. But nowhere on tithing do I read that it says, give it to bad guys. And in our society, we have good people and we got bad people. And the good people, when they have something extra, they say, I want to help somebody else. It's funny how some people are. They want to help somebody else. They got enough. They want to help somebody else. So they become ripe for sucker baiting under these tithes. And they've been sucker baited for centuries and centuries about, you know, what do we do with tithes? It's really a shame. Good people being sucker baited. But that's happened a whole bunch. Tithe to your preacher. Y'all tithe to him. So he can get a brand new Cadillac. So he can put together a trip, and everybody buys into the trip, and the preacher gets to go for free. Room and meals, and all the other accoutrements that go with it. Now, what does Jerry Kirk do for tithing? Well, the first thing that Jerry Kirk does is he takes a look and he says, is that a good individual or is that a bad individual? And guess what? I've been sucker baited more than I would even like to imagine. My favorite way of tithing, and the way that I enjoy it the best, and I'm not trying to create a record or publish, this is just for discussion. And I've been able to do this a couple times in my life. I've seen poor people pushing a bike down a road. So much on their bike and a basket in the front and baskets on the side that they couldn't even ride their bike. And I don't know whether they're good or they're bad. It's my escape clause. I'm able to say, they really need a 20 and give them a 20. Now, I don't have to worry about whether they're good or bad because I make a rational, you know, I rationalize. I was just trying to help them. That was it. I don't worry whether they're good or bad. So those are the kind of easy kind. Maybe I could be in that condition tomorrow. But when I do have given, and there was an occasion in my life that I had $85, and I saw an individual, and this is quite a number of years ago, and I stopped and I gave him 50. And I was on my way to buy something that I needed to have that cost 65. I had to go to that place and say, I haven't got the money. I'll come back after I do some more work and something. But I felt good about that because that's just for some reason I gave them the majority of my money. When it hurts the most is the best when you give it, in my opinion. And my dad used to say that too. But in a more rational thinking state of mind, would I ever want to give something to a bad guy? Why would I want to give something to a Canaanite? Why would I want to give something to a Babylonian government? When tithe means taxes, I tried to speak about that a little bit last week. Why would I want to give taxation, tithe, to a government that takes that money and gets people in the army and takes them out to have economic wars and then kill our children. You know, 18 to 30, sometimes a little bit older. And then a government that's so corrupt that it says, well, we have so many corrupt wars and everything, not enough men are showing up, so we'll go ahead and get these girls out there, we'll get them shot at and killed. I mean, the epitome. People want to say, land of the free and home of the brave. What a joke, brave. Sticking our females out there to get blowed up. Sticking our females out there to learning the disaster of what can happen in your heart and your mind from killing somebody else. Bad enough to do it to men, but we do it to our women now. This country deserves what it's going to get, and I can't wait till it get till the Lord returns and straightens it out. So tithing is not an easy subject. It's not a subject that I can say that I've ever gotten it correct yet. It's a subject that I would like to learn how to get it correct. All I was hoping to do on this discussion of tithing is to bring some issues to your mind for you to contemplate. Should you be giving money openly where people can see it? My answer, no. Should you be giving tithing to government in the form of taxation? Absolutely not. The Master, the Christ, has said unequivocally, you don't do that. I went into that last week. He also says in the Old Testament, you shall make no covenant, no treaty, no league with them. That's how you get into forced taxes, forced tithes, because you make a contract with them. But what can be very concerning is when we give money thinking we're helping somebody, and we're not. What we're actually doing is giving them money to turn around and cut our throat. And there also could be a situation where you're giving people money that by them having that money, they will turn around and use it unwisely to harm themselves. So it's not a subject that I can tell you exactly A, B, C. It's something you need to contemplate. Now, I heard the nice little buzzer, and I guess in about 20, 30 seconds, I'm going to break. The gathering offering. And I really appreciate y'all, those that are listening, that I haven't run off with some of these father's laws. Golly, you didn't know about them. Y'all have great.
Problem's just a toy balloon. They'll be bursting soon. They're just bound to go pop.
Oops, there goes another problem, kerplop.
Oops,
there goes another problem, kerplop.
Years ahead of the dominant media, FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net. Around the world and on satellite.
I just talked with one of these elite the other day, and he told me the latest of everything the elite have planned for the world for the next 2 years.
Shocking. This DVD, Tragedy, Hope, and Reality, the latest title by Lindsay Williams. Our production team at First Amendment Radio has condensed Lindsay's three DVD set down to a single DVD presentation.
So I'm going to tell you right now, up front, everything that I feel will impact your life in a major way in the next 24 months.
2.5 hours of the most important details of what the elite have planned for America and the world.
Within 2 years, he said, you will not recognize the United States of America.
Will you be ready?
And here is the part that startled me more about anything that he said. He said, war is planned. And he told me where it's going to be.
Will you even believe it?
Gasoline will remain the price it is right now until we have war. You're going to be paying $4 to $10 a gallon overnight.
First, you must see it. Two copies, one for you and one for you to give away when you send a support donation of $20 to First Amendment Radio. Use the chip-in event on our website or send $20 cash to First Amendment Radio, 139 East Tulare, T-U-L-A-R-E, Tulare Avenue, Tulare, California, 93274. 139 East Tulare, T-U-L-A-R-E, Tulare Avenue, Tulare, California, 93274. Make copies and give them away. A wise man sees trouble coming and prepares for it. Tragedy, hope, reality.
Hi, Nicholas here. I used to lug those big jugs to the market to fill with water from those coin-operated filter machines, 25 cents a gallon or 5 gallons for a buck. I used to. Then I got the big Berkey. Now I save my back and hundreds of dollars, too. I was paying $600 for the same 3,000 gallons of water that a pair of black Berkey filters will provide from my own tap for only $99. This means that your Berkey water system will entirely pay for itself with only 1,500 gallons of use, and then you will still have 1,500 gallons left before you need to replace the filters. Do the math. Stop throwing your money away on bottled water and filter dispensers that may or may not be delivering as promised. For a limited time, First Amendment Radio is offering 10% off on the most popular Berkey water systems. Visit the shopping page at firstamendmentradio.com or call us at 559-781-3773 for more information. Leave your name and address and we'll send you this special offer. Do it now. First Amendment Radio is an authorized distributor of Berkey products.
Once I get you up there where the air is rarefied, we'll just glide starry-eyed. Once I get you up there, I'll be holding you so very near, you might even hear a whole gang of cheers just because we're together. Weather-wise, it's such a cuckoo day. You just say those words and we'll take our birds down to Acapulco Bay. It's so perfect for a flying honeymoon. Oh, babe, come fly with me. Let's fly, let's fly.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Gathering Offering, and my name is Jerry Kirk, and this is Appendix Number 7 out of 8 appendixes. And I'm going to be visiting with you on what I consider to be a major con job going on in this country. And I've been aware of it for about 8 months. And the paperwork that I'm going to read to you from does not have the name of the actual, up until a couple weeks ago, current con job name. However, the individuals that put this paperwork out, their names are associated with the con job. Now, history, 1993, other people got involved with this type of stuff. Judge Webster and I looked at each other and said, we have not looked at this into great depth. We need to look at it in great depth. After a few days in the law library, we said, this is bad, bad business. We told the individuals who were involved, this is bad, bad business. You'll go to jail. They said, oh, no. We're going to take back America. It's called Take Back America, I think, back then. Anyway, they went ahead and they filed these liens against the federal building in Orlando, Florida. And I told them, you're going to go to jail in like 14 to 16 months. Sure enough, in comes the prosecutors and arrest them and the FBI and the ATF and the whole nine yards. And they go to court and they look like idiots in court because they've signed all this stuff. They've actually done all this stuff. And they're found guilty and sent to jail for 8 years. Lost everything they had. Now, of course, the prosecutors only go after the guys with a little bit of money, higher profile and stuff like that. They don't want to waste their time with every Tom, Dick, and Harry, usually. But under the Patriot Act now, maybe they want to mess with every Tom, Dick, and Harry. And I watched a number of people in late 93, 94, and into 95 that actually were pretty good guys but wouldn't listen, just go rot in jail. So the whole point of why I'm bringing this up is maybe I can help a few people not go rot in jail and lose everything they got. Now, on the first page of this, it's called the Constitutional Americans Freedom Seminar. Together, we can take back America. Wow, how about that? Take back America. Seems like I saw that before. And then it quotes out of the Bible, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Brought to you by Joseph Freeman, Billy Ray Hall, and Tim Turner. Those people that have been listening around have heard those that name. But, of course, they've heard it under the name Restore America. And just a few weeks ago, they said, now we got to get rid of that name. They're now calling it the Republic of the United States. Wow, how about that? That's like a year, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months. What was it? Three name changes. I wonder how often the Canaanites changed their name, how many generations they go by, and then the Canaanites change their name to stay in. Whatever this has anything to do. I'm just wondering that question out loud. So they have this long seminar, and I don't know exactly how many thousands of dollars they people had to pay to go get this stuff. But boy, there's a lot of talking that goes on before you get to the paperwork. We get to the first thing, and here's a UCC financing statement. Follow instructions front and back carefully. You get down to something, and your zip code is in brackets, rectangular brackets. And people have been making up this hogwash for years that this says, well, I'm near there, but I'm not under there. You know, it's somebody makes it up, passes it on. No reality to it. When you have a rectangular bracket, all you have to do is go into the case law books and read. You'll have a rectangular bracket. Then you'll have the letter T. Then you will have the right-hand side another rectangular bracket, followed by H-E. It means that whoever handwrote or typed out the transcript of the case forgot to write the T. So thusly, they put the brackets in there to re-add with emphasis, to let you know we re-added this. So now you can read the word the instead of reading the word he. So since 1988, I've been trying to tell people of this Patriot for Profit, garbage. And it's pure garbage. You use a zip code, you're using a zip code. Now we turn the page. Acknowledgement. Grant of exclusive power of attorney to conduct all tax, business, and legal affairs of principal person. Well, now that sounds pretty good. Except some of these people are taking this, and I have to go to the end, and they're filling out the name of some government elected official, and they're printing his name in there and saying, I took his power of attorney. And they mail him this copy with, you know, they forged his name on it. And they say, see, I got his power of attorney. Now look, folks, there's two ways to get a power of attorney. One is the individual that wants to give the power of attorney signs their name and says, I grant you my power of attorney. The other way is you go out and you get brought into court, and the court says, we have to have a hearing on guardianship because this individual is incapable. They have a lack of capacity to conduct their affairs on their own. And then they take your power of attorney that way. But, you know, it's like a, you know, pretty long process. Lots of different experts and things have to get involved with it. And it's a rather traumatic thing. And it's something I've never been involved in. My dad said, never get involved with one. Don't do one. Don't have a guardianship. Now, I've had a guardianship one time. And I signed something over to somebody for a guardianship. And as soon as they signed that guardianship, as soon as they could sign that they revoked the guardianship, then I had that done. So the guardianship existed for 2 or 3 seconds. But other than that, I haven't been involved with guardianship. I had to do something to whoop a government entity one time. So they wanted to see a guardianship, I gave them a guardianship. They didn't say I had to show them when I canceled it. Law didn't say that. Now, some of the people that are involved with this movement, they sit there and they say, well, what we're doing is we're giving our guardianship of our all-capital leather straw man, they make that name up, our corporate entity, we're getting all that right on back to our individual lord's name or natural man. Well, you know, what kind of whack job is this? You're going to give your own power of attorney right back to yourself. Why not just quit using your upper and lower case and get out of Babylon? It's incredible to me. Now, if these people that do spill out and they put somebody else's name there and send it up to Governor Huawei or whatever elected individual, well, that's called total fraud. And actually, some people have done that. And when you take a power of attorney from somebody by just noticing that here it is, and I'm taking your power of attorney, you know what that's called? It's called war. It's called an act of war. Then we move on, and they come up with this commercial security agreement. I mean, if I could spend 3 or 4 hours and each of you have all this stuff in front of you, it would be incredible. So I'm just hitting some of the high things. Commercial security agreement. This non-negotiable and non-transferable security agreement is made between so-and-so with a Social Security number with dashes. However, when it comes down to the individual that's going to make all this money, it's a Social Security number without dashes. Now, isn't that astounding? I mean, yeah, there's all kinds of U.S. Supreme Court cases, I'm sure, talking about, hey, if you don't put the dashes in your Social Security number, you're exempt from federal regulation. Come on, folks. Putting sand in the oil. Straw, pay attention to the instructions. Follow them. Then they go on. Execution of this security agreement incorporates a promise that the debtor will execute such commercial forms, including but not limited to such financing statements as being necessary to assure the secured party's interest is perfected. Now, how about that? Governor so-and-so is going to get out there and promise, you know. But, you know, Governor so-and-so doesn't sign on this thing anywhere. Nowhere that I find it. Just kind of make his name up and send it to him. Got it. It is incredible that in this paperwork, and I don't have to go on all these things, that it says under miscellaneous provision, applicable law, this, Uniform Commercial Code, as adopted by the legislature, state of Alabama, international contract law, and listen to this, the unwritten law merchant, as practiced before the Uniform Commercial Code. Okay, they're agreeing to an unwritten law merchant. Now, what the hell is that? It's unwritten, and I've never heard law merchant. Does it mean law of merchants? Unwritten merchant's law? But it's unwritten. That means you're on this ship out in the middle of the ocean. And Ahab comes up there and says, hey, I want you to swab the deck down. And I got the sword right here and says, you don't do what I say, I'm going to cut your head off. And you say to Captain Ahab, well, you know, Ahab, we just did it 5 minutes ago. And the rules don't say that. Ahab says, there ain't no written rules on my ship. It's whatever I say to do. You could go on to this and go into this and line by line by line, and it would absolutely make you sick. Then they come up with something, an actual and constructive notice. Attention, respective Board of Governors respondent. Non-negotiable instrument, non-negotiable chargeback, invoice, number, initials, and date of birth. The total amount of this non-negotiable acceptance for value in, as enclosed filing is $100 billion. Please adjust by legal tender the undersigned private trust account. Boy, that sounds good if you don't know a squat about law. And I was actually asked a few months ago to listen in to some conference calls. I wasn't even told what to work. And I listened into these people, and they said, you know, we got our paperwork done, and we've got a default judgment. And all we need to do now is perfect our judgment. Oh, let's see. They actually had to get a writ of execution. Oh, okay. Okay. And they haven't got that. But boy, this one guy, he said, I got a 35 millioner. Another guy, he said, I got a 55 billioner. You know, excuse, 35 billion. And one guy said, I got one of them 100 billioners. And all we got to do is perfect it. Could it be ever enter into somebody's mind if there was even one iota of truth to this? Let's see. How many hundreds of thousands of attorneys do we have not just this country, let's say the whole world? Got a couple million? Don't you think that for $100 billion and a 40% commission by the attorney, in other words, he's going to get $40 billion, don't you think there would be a long line of attorneys trying to help you to perfect your judgment? It's because this is whack job stuff. There's not, you know, any attorney, if you want to say all attorneys are the most rotten, no good people in the world, if you want to say that, don't you think there's at least a couple of them that say, you know what, I'll give up my bar card as soon as I get that $40 billion. I'll bet you there's a whole lot of them that do it if their cut was $1 billion. Come on, people. This Restore America thing is so full of manure. They're now currently under a gag order. Oh, golly, everybody's heard on TV. Yeah, the judge put a gag order on. Did some judge put all the people under the Restore America, Republic of the United States, now is their new name? Sounds good, doesn't it? Has some judge put them on a gag order? Or did the elitist at the top say, secrecy, secrecy. We can't let anybody know what we're doing. We're in secret. Did they take and did they publish their letters that they sent out and supposedly delivered to all 50 governors? How is it that when John Stadtmiller and Ralph Winterow were on RBN a number of months ago, and they had Dr. Sam Kennedy, doctor of what? Doctor of crotch rot? How many other names did Sam Kennedy have? I listened to this announcement, you know, months ago. People called me, say, hey, Sam Kennedy's making this big announcement about Restore America. And I called people up and I said, are you really believing that I listened to that manure for almost 2 hours? But Stadtmiller said, how come, and Winterow said, how come you guys want to let us see a copy of what you said to the governors? And yet, supposedly, there's thousands of people that have joined up, put their necks on the block, and they've never seen a copy of the letter. What you're talking about is a bunch of people that listen to glittering generalities that are so desperate for some sort of change, relief, the problems that are going on, that they're not thinking, except they're hearing the glittering generalities, and it massages their emotions. And it makes them feel good. And then they're constantly being told, oil your rifles. Get your ammo. Keep your ammo dry. And quite frankly, when people start talking like that all the time, it reminds me of Joe Sixpacks. You know, the guys who get 2 or 3 six-packs and a quart of booze. They go out in the woods and they start a fire. And after, you know, about 7, 8 beers, about a third of their bottle of whiskey, man, they get brave. They start telling everybody how they, and by another hour or two, they've solved all the problems of the world. And they're real kick-ass son of a gun. Joe's six-packs. That's what these boys remind me of, Joe's six-packs. They make me puke. They are, in essence, anarchists. We're going to put a plan in, but we're not going to tell you what our plan is. And they con people that know nothing about reading law. Those of you that are listening, you need to go back and listen to the archives of this and decide, do you want to call in to some of these shows that talk about this BS? And I'm not allowed to say the S certain word they tell me. So I have to say bull manure or chicken droppings. Why don't you call in and expose this? About every 3 and 4 years, they pull up this stuff. Because P.T. Barnum said, every day, a sucker's born every day. You can fool most of the people most of the time, but you can't fool all of the people all of the time. These people say, and the government's after them. You can bet your sweet bippy the government's after them. Because this smells exactly like 2 or 3 other times I've seen this stuff. And either these little boys are actually working for the government, or these little boys, and I'm being very, very on purpose using that language to let everybody know what I think of somebody who would put this kind of bull manure out, or they are totally duped. And it's really a shame, because some of the people that have gotten involved with this Restore America, Constitutional American Freedom Seminar, which, oh, by the way, when you turn the page, it is American Freedom Seminar. It's not Constitutional American's Freedom Seminar. And in one page, the name changes on the paperwork, too. And now it's Republic of the United States. It's really a shame. Some of the people that are involved, they're really good people. And they're reaching out trying to find something. They're trying to find a way. And they don't know how to read law. They don't know anything about courtrooms. And so they're reaching out for some figment of their imagination, the figment of the imagination of somebody that's making these glittering generalities. And those are the ones I want to see not get hurt and get out of this. And you, the listeners, right now have the opportunity to say, should you take a position? You know, you actually can call in and say, I'm Bill from Podunk. My name's Jerry F. Kirk. And I know, everybody knows where I live. And I say, kiss your blah, blah, blah. If you want to try and threaten me or come visit me or anything else, I don't give a rat's toenail. But that's not the point. You have to stand up. You have to make some calls. You have to send some emails and say, why don't you people wake up? Why don't you return to the Father's law? Why don't you return to the Father's jurisdiction? Why don't you start living by the Father's law? Why don't you go back to the only laws that have any validity? Why don't you go back to the laws that were there from the very inception of matter? Yeah, before there were even planets and human beings, if you want to use that term, people. Father's laws were there. It tells you in the Word of God. And we kept the seventh appointed day before there was even man. His laws were there. Go back to the original. Go back to the real. When these guys use the term de jure, they don't know it. De jure means the Father's law. De facto means anything of man's law. De facto, false. Stuck there in place of the real thing. That's what people are seeking, but they haven't swallowed their ego. They have not released their controlled idiom in their head. They need to humble themselves and practice humility and get away from these whack jobs. And that's what they are. And item by item by item. If you spend 2 or 3 hours with this paperwork open and you read it, it boils down to, simplistically, the unwritten law merchant. And these people are saying they're under an unwritten law. That means whatever Tim Turner and Billy Ray Hall and Joseph Freeman and whatever these idiots say is what you're going to have to do. Or maybe it's some other kind of idiot that we don't even know about. It's unwritten. We just go appoint him. Whatever he says, we'll do. And it sounds like we've set up a new God. Is that really what everybody wants to do? Get out of it. Go back to return to the Father's laws. Use some common sense. If it sounds to be good to be true, it always is. $100 billion, boy. A lot of money. And I'm getting it. Yeah, you're going to get it right up your dark hole, your rear orifice, when the government throws you in jail. So today isn't really, the last half isn't really as much as an offering as it is a warning. Blessings to those with eyes and ears. This is the gathering offering, and my name is Jerry Kirk. And y'all have a great day today. And I pray that you will help your brothers and sisters keep their eyes to be open and their ears to listen.
Of course it's
thank you.
To simply hold your horses. To rush would be a crime. Cause nice and easy does it. Nice and easy does it. Nice and easy does it every time. Like the man says one more time. Nice and easy does it.